This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I'm going to start in the same way that I told this story this morning. It's a true story. In 1995, I was matric, and I applied for both engineering scholarships, both in the Air Force and in the Navy. And my brother Conrad with me did the same. He took 2 years of break. He's 2 years older than me, but he took 2 years of a break. Just managed a restaurant and studied some loose subjects. And then he decided both of us, we're going to study. We considered engineering. And I remember during our final medical exam, before we had the interviews with the Navy specifically, that they have a full medical checkup, which is good before you become a combat officer. So we thought it's good. So we went for the, but I mean, we're 17, so you're young. And I remember the doctor noticed the scar on my upper right arm, just below my deltoid, and what would later become my deltoid. when you're 17, I mean, come on. Anyway, so she noticed it, and she just inquired about, because she could see it's a knife wound. And I said, yes, it's a small incident that happened in our home. We're three brothers. And my brother Conrad stood in front of the frying pan after we made steaks the evening. We did the dishes always. And I just thought to cleanse it with some boiling water. So I threw the boiling water in, and it splashed on him. He wasn't worried that the hot water came onto him, but that the oil stained his diesel shirt. Anyway, so, and his instinctive reaction was to, with the steak knife he was cleaning at that moment, just to stab me. in my bicep one day. Anyway, so, and so the doctor inquired about that, and we had a good laugh because it's a two-year-old flesh wound. It's just a flesh wound. And then she asked as well whether I broke any bones in my body, and I said, yes, only my right fist. And she asked, how did I do that? And I didn't say my brother ducked. I just said I hit it in the brick wall. Anyway, so a while later, we both came for the interviews, final interviews. Van Niekerk, we lost in the list. I could see that the officers were quite tired. It's a long list. It's about seven officers that was on the board of interviews in the Navy. And when I walked in, because Conrad is before Ross on the alphabet, so Conrad went in and came out. And then the officers, you know, one of them was smiling a lot. And sat down, and he was the psychologist sitting right next to me. So it was quite intimidating for 17-year-old with all these officers. Many of them had beards, which wasn't fashionable except in the Navy in those days. So, Kyle, you can go to the Navy. Anyway, so I went and I stood there, and they asked all the difficult questions about technical, about Ian leadership, about da-da-da-da-da, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I mean, 17-year-old, I mean, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I don't know. So we had all these answers which you prepped. And then they asked me a question. So the man just before you, was it your brother? And I'm saying, yes, it was my brother Conrad. And say, okay, do you have a good relationship? I'm saying, yes, I have two brothers. I'm the middle. We have a great relationship. We're really tight. Do you fight a lot? I'm like, no, we don't fight. But I mean, I'm in full suit there. And do you fight a lot? I'm like, no. So listen, so it won't be a problem if both of you get in the same division, or both of you do officers training together, it won't be a problem for you. I'm like, no. So not much competition. I'm like, no, really. We really get along great. Then they said, so tell us about the stab wound on your upper right arm. I'm like, my brother stabbed me. Excuse me, can you just say that? It's like, my brother stabbed me with a steak knife. Okay. And how did you break your fist? So anyway. But it's amazing, these records come, these things come in your record. I mean, we just came back from India. Whenever you go in for visa application, even passport applications, they ask you, do you have any identification marks or scar marks by which you can be identified? And we always have that. So I was recently reminded of that, because that's the only thing that I have. It's just this small flesh wound that I remember because my brother was in the way of the boiling water. But it's amazing that we are known by our marks. We are recognized by these marks that we have. And just like tree trunks, if you cut them open, it tells their story. I mean, maybe just the tree behind you is it's more than 350-year-old tree that they found in the woods in California. And it's amazing that you can tell so much of the life experience of the tree from the trunk. It's a lot. We know that the thin lines, the hard, dark thin lines are the dry seasons. And if you have a few of them, I'm sure in the Cape we'd have thick, dark lines now because of the 3 years of drought that we've experienced. It's three seasons of relative dry. But then you have the thinner, the thicker, lighter, bigger marks that says there were years of plenty. Spoke to a lady this morning. She said, I think I have just thick layers for this year. It was a really great year. But then we have other things that you can see, and maybe just the liquefaction up in the top. It's when there's a massive earthquake so that the soil becomes as liquid, as water. It becomes movable. So all the trees' roots are disconnected from the soil, so the tree feels insecure. So what it does is it pushes all its sap down to steady itself again, which drains the whole tree in that year of the sap in the trunk. So it just pushes everything down. You'll see right here at the bottom, there's a leaf kill, which also looks lighter. So if there's an infection or bugs that eat all the trees, it does the same. It just pushes up all the sap from the trunk to the leaves just to make a second set of leaves in the season. So it really drains them. You'll see that there's a ghost scar, which is what happens if either a bear or maybe a boulder or something big, you know, just there's a massive mark cut on the outside that takes out a few layers from the tree's bark, and then it has to close it up again. So there's like a loss, there's a bit of history gone, a bit of regression right there for the tree, and it has to just fill it up over the years. And then obviously you see the forest competition. It's amazing. Trees fight for the light. You know, it's what gives them energy. It's what gives them. So if a tree is in the shade of another tree for a season or for a few years, then it would fight and fight and grow in a specific direction. So the rings in the tree would be elliptical. It wouldn't be round, but it will grow in a certain direction because the tree has to grow towards the light. Just follow the light. And there's some scarring and fire scarring. You can see there at the bottom, massive fire damage that the tree had. So what it would do, obviously, is would push. So there's a piece that is burnt out but is vulnerable to insects and infection. So what it would do, it would push all the resin and make a massive scar there. So the scar isn't a bad thing. The scar is a good thing because the scar says that now I'm safe and I'm healed. I am not vulnerable anymore. In fact, I'm quite resistant in this area. And we all have scars like that in our life. We all have scars in some way or another. We have these, you know, maybe you went through a dry season. Maybe you went through some traumatic incident where you got hurt badly. Maybe you didn't go through a bad time, but it's just a really, really good tree, and you really bulked up. You became a bit fat, tree speaking, in it for a season in your life. But it's amazing if you think about the trees, and I just said it now, you don't see what happens to the trees. You only see the tree's response to what happens. You only see the tree's growth because of what happens. And the fact that you can see the scars doesn't testify so much of the traumatic event as it does in some way of grace or of some power that made them overcome that which was about to take them out. So you see, so all of these marks are marks of grace. All of these marks are marks of overcoming. It's signs of the preservation of life. It's signs of a second chance. It's signs of I am okay. All these things that happened to me, you can't erase it from the tree's memory. It's there. It's there forever. In fact, this tree was born in 1668. So you can see in many a week and look into what the major events that the tree had. It's the end of the year. Well, for me, it really feels like the end of the year. Sometimes my year is over before the calendar is done. It's one of those years. And you can look back in your year, or maybe the last 2 or 3 years in your life, and you think, and I want you to think while I'm talking, or when I'm reading from Paul's letters, I want you to think of what did you go through? If we were to dissect you in 100 years from now, after you passed away, what would we find in the lines? What would we see? If we could dissect your spirit and your soul, what would we see? We can see the scarring in your body. We can see the good years and the bad years. But I wonder what we could see in your soul. I wonder what we can see in your spirit. If I say spirit tonight, think relationship identity. Think relationship identity. Think that. Wonder what we can see in your life. Scars really tell a story. What is your story? What does it look like? Enjoy the pictures of the trees. It's really beautiful pictures. Let's read from 2 Corinthians. As we read it, there's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. It's the end of the letter, of Paul's letter. From the very offset of the letter, Paul is quite irritated, agitated, frustrated, disappointed, angry at the church in Galatia. He doesn't start very nicely. He just starts and says, "Who bewitched you? What's wrong with you? Why did you lose your salvation? Why on earth would you go and do stupid rituals? What's wrong with you, church?" It's sort of the offset of the letter. He's like, "You're God's chosen ones, elect ones, loved ones. He's called you to freedom. What's wrong with you?" That's sort of his offset. And right at the end, in chapter 6, verse 17, right near the end, just before it ends with a, "May the grace of the Lord be with your spirits," he just does a verse 17 and he says, "Listen, I bear in my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't bother me anymore with this stuff." Sort of a, and you go like, "Paul, where does that come from? I mean, what does that mean?" But you obviously know in the context of the letter, he's saying, you're saying that we should have marks of Moses, the marks of circumcision in our body, the marks of allegiance to the law, the marks of piety. He's saying, "I have that. It doesn't mean anything to me. But I have other marks." And what he means with these marks is not some tattoo. In Paul's day, soldiers, worshippers of or devotees of a certain cult, and slaves had markings on their body. And it's amazing that Paul refers himself to all three of those things. But the marks he refers to is what we read about now in 2 Corinthians, the marks that he has. He's writing to the church, and they're fighting about whether he's apostle or not, because there are other super apostles, they call themselves, that have arrived in Corinth with their helicopters and their rings and their bodyguards, and they may not touch the ground type of thing. And Paul is saying, "What the os? Who are those guys?" And then he says, "Are those who claim to be apostles servants of Christ? Well, let's be blunt, I'm a better one." And you go like, "What? Is it Paul that brought me?" I say, "Yeah." They say, "With far greater labors, far greater imprisonments, countless beatings, and often near to death." And I want you to see now, because the theme that he repeats 3 or 4 times in these 2 chapters, he says, "I'm writing about my weakness." And I want you to see what he writes about his weakness here. He says, 5 times I've received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. Yo. 5 times your back is peeled with a whip. Glass, bones, copper pieces. Nothing left. 5 times. You're thinking this guy's alive. It's a freaking miracle. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Some of you go, "I've already been stoned." But he doesn't talk about that stoning. Once I was stoned. Stoned and left to death anyway. It's amazing, huh? When he refers to this time in Lystra, in Galatia, he says to the church, the book of Acts tells it this way. He preached to this church. He was there for a few weeks. He's new converts. Then they chase him outside the city and throw stones upon him, which means they throw a massive boulder on him so that he lies flat under the boulder, and then they throw him with a heap of stones and leave him to death. The new church guys comes, picks him up, pray for him, and then he says, "Thank you so much. With many other trials, we will enter the kingdom of God. See you." And he walks off, and you go, "What's wrong with this guy? What's wrong?" Anyway, but this is that time when he was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from our own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, from false brothers. So see, the scars in his body are not just from beatings, stonings, and environmental incidents that he had, shipwreck and stuff, but it's also scars in his soul, betrayal, hostility from his own brothers, people that he loved, dangerous in the sea, dangerous in false brothers, in toil and in hardship, through many sleepless nights, vigils with his Lord, in hunger and in thirst, seasons where he was physically hungry, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is this daily pressure of me, the anxiety of all the churches, which is the purpose of this letter. I'm concerned about you. And then he says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. I'll come back to that now, but it's amazing. When Paul says, I am an apostle, in our day, especially in the crazy charismatic church, apostle means things just work for you, you know? Shandai, shandai, poof, poof. Everything is fine. You can't touch this. Da, da, da. Everything is amazing. That's the idea. It's the idea. It's not. Paul says, can you see how tough my life is? Can you see how I suffer? Can you see how I do not overcome, but physically at times had to flee? That's the bit that I cut out there. He says at one point I had to flee a city. So with all my praying and all my things, things don't seem to go my way. One thing I can tell you is look at my body. I have so many scars on it, and yet I am still here preaching Christ. Amazing grace. Crazy grace. And then he says, tells about the heavenly revelation that he had. He was in heaven one day, or for a season, being with Jesus. And he says, to keep me from being conceited, that means prideful, Afrikaanse mensen, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations that I've received, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But all Jesus said to me is, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then just think back on the scars when you read this. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with all my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamity. And he says, because when I'm weak, I know that I'm strong. I'd like us to focus just on the one aspect tonight, on the marks. If we were to dissect Paul at this point or at the end of his life, his spirit and his soul and his body, we would obviously find massive scarring on his body all over. He wasn't a pretty man. He couldn't have been a pretty man after all this. He had scars all over him, all over his body. But then he refers to scars in his spirit and scars in his soul as well, relationship and in his identity, the accusations, the betrayal, the things that he went through. He had real, real scarring. He had real difficult life. But then I'd like us to look at how Paul looks at his scars, because there's no there's no pity. There's no self-pity. He says it's tough. He doesn't lie. He said it's really, really tough. This wasn't a breeze. And he doesn't say it was easy for me or it was nothing or I'll forget it. He can't. Because every time he puts on a shirt, every time someone else has to put on a shirt on him, you're going to see those scars everywhere. So Paul can't forget what he went through. But look at how he views the things that he went through. And I'd like us to sort of pick up from that tonight. If you've had a difficult year, and listen, I'm going to be blunt. Sometimes we read this and you go like, oh, my lewe is makkelijk. Let me be honest. Scarring is scarring. Pain is pain. Betrayal is betrayal. Suffering is suffering. There are degrees of suffering that we go through in life. There are degrees of difficulty that we go through in life. But when you go through it, it is not easy. So don't make it as though it's nothing, because it is something. Ignoring it's not going to fix it. Paul says, I want you to reframe it in a way. So we're going to follow Paul's invitation today. and look at our scars, just like the tree trunks, again, we don't see the scars. We only see our response to the scars. That's all we have. The first one that I'd like you to just pick up on or see is that Paul, the clear message that Paul repeats twice. He says, our scars are a witness to our weakness. They are visible and invisible signs of the grace of God. When Paul looks at his scars, he looks at the healing Christ brought to him. He looks at the recovery. He looks at the fact that I was nearly dead. I was heartbroken, or I was really alone, and yet Christ came through for me. Paul looks at his scars. He looks at the things that happened to me, and he looks from a perspective not of his suffering as much as he looks at, wow. And because this is the bulk of the message that we get here. He says, look at my weakness. Look at how I go through stuff. But God's grace carried me through all of this. My life, my scarring, everything in my body, in my spirit says that God's grace compensated. This should have taken me out. I should have been dead. I should have given up. I should have done all these things. But he says, wow, look at the grace. The scars are a memory of God's intervention, of God's restoration, of God's grace towards me, his help, the fact that Christ really carried me through. And that's why as he looks at it and he doesn't go, what, poor me, he looks, wow, God's grace is really, really amazing. Really amazing. And looking at these scars in this way gives me comfort in every single day. Because if we have all these scars that recovered, things that we went through, that God carried us through, then it gives me comfort in going like, doesn't really matter what I face today. Christ has brought me through in the past. He's going to do it again. That's why Paul was confident in continuing constantly, because of the fact that he got used to the fact that God intervened, God picked him up, God carried him through. The Lord's grace really, his strength really came through. God's grace was sufficient for him. His strength brought him through. Signs of grace. Scars are signs of grace. The second one, and this is what we see more in the letter of Peter, but I just wanted to bring it in here, is that the scars, if I look at my scars now, the things that I went through in the last 5 years, this year was better, but the previous 4 years was quite tough for me in many ways. And I'm looking back and I'm thinking, if I tell the stories to people, they go like, oh, wow, wow. And all of us have those stories. You tell it to someone and they go like, oh, wow. And you still believe in Jesus. And you still trust people. Wow, that's amazing. That's really amazing. Because the scars are a sign of the fact that in your faith you held on to God and God carried you through. That was the primary invitation why Satan unleashed all hell on Job, so that he may lose his faith in God, so that he may stop believing that God is good, so that he may stop trusting in God. And that's the main message. So tonight, when you look at this, your scars, the things that you went through, it is an invitation for you to smile and thank God for the gift of faith, that you still hold on to him. What Peter writes, Peter says that your faith, that through these trials and through these difficulties, your faith are being tested, purified as through fire, as we would do with gold. So he says two things that trials do for your faith. If there's no faith, you're not going to keep it. But if there's faith, he says two things happen to it. Your faith is purified, which means your motives are purified and tested. And secondly, your faith is strengthened and shown to be true. And this is what Paul also in a sense says. He says, all these things happened to me, and I'm looking back, and I'm quite confident. Doesn't really matter what happens to me today. I know my God is real. And in a sense, there's sort of these insignia, these ranks. Every one of the stripes, every one of his scars is in a sense insignia, a rank, showing that his faith has matured and strengthened because God has carried him through. So the scars are signs of faith, the signs of the fact that you had faith in God and God is good. And I really want to commend you. Don't take it lightly and don't ignore it. Don't brush it off as nothing. Think back on the difficult times you went through and you're on this side. And just say, God, thank you for faith. You still trust in God. You still hold on to him. That was the primary message of all the letters to the early churches. It's like, you know that Jesus reigns, but why are things so difficult? And he says, hold on, your faith will carry you through this. God is really good. So first one, signs of grace. Second one, signs of faith. And the third one, and I like this one, our scars are a witness to a fading, fallible world. And because of that, there are signs of hope. And what it means is there will be no scars made in heaven. Have you thought about that? It's temporal. It's only in this life. It's only here. So scarring only happens here because death and destruction only happens here. There will be no scars added to heaven. I want to believe, you know, Jesus is known by his scars still today. In heaven, he's the lamb that was slain. How did Thomas recognize him? He says, put in your fingers in my hands and put in your hand in my thigh. It's me. So Jesus is known by his scars as well. But I want to say that the scars we pick up will only pick up here. All the kids born in heaven, all the kids born in the New Jerusalem that we sang about tonight, they're not going to have scars. We're going to have scars, and we're taking them back as soldiers back to that place. But there will be none of that. So every time I look at this little scar, physical, and every time that I look at the scars, metaphysical, my scars that I went through, that I obtained in life, relational strain, difficulty, hurts, accusation, pain, betrayal that I went through in my life, every time I look at them, I smile because these scars make me long for the day when Jesus returns more. Because suffering, betrayal, hardship is temporal. And Jesus is coming back because of these sufferings. He came in the first place to save us from suffering, to end the reign of terror and death in this world. And when he comes back one day, he's going to take us to a place, a kingdom where there is righteousness, peace, and joy, no suffering, no pain, no hardship. And that's really, really exciting. I really want you to think about that. When you have a C-section, ladies, one or two ladies, or moms here tonight, or maybe you have other scars in your body which you're not too proud of. Maybe you're just very aware of scars in your identity and scars in your relational part of you or just emotional part of you, anxieties and things that you go through. I want you to look at those scars and just remember that this is temporal, that Jesus came because of this type of suffering to rid the world of suffering. That's why we are waiting for the New Jerusalem. It makes me, my scars make me long for Jesus and his kingdom. It makes me long. He's coming, he's bring it. And when I look at these scars in the hopeful sense, it just stirs me with joyful endurance. The last one. Yeah, maybe just stop there for a second, just with the hope one. We have a few people in church that are going, three specifically, that are going through chemotherapy. And we prayed, and they aren't healed yet. Some people do get healed, others don't get healed. We'll ask Jesus that in one day. But it's amazing when they look at their hair falling out, and it's amazing if they look at the operations they have to remove the nodules or the lymph nodes. It's amazing if they look at them in this way, that these physical scars and even the emotional scars that come with them, I'm waiting for the day when Jesus returns and death and sickness will no longer reign. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for that. We are waiting for that. Look at your scars, hopefully. Look at them hopefully. They are signs of hope. And for Paul, it was like that. And then the last one. Our scars are a reminder of Christ's marks, the visible signs of love. First, when I wrote it down, I said that we have scars because Jesus has scars. And that maybe that's true in the one sense, but it's actually the opposite way. Jesus has scars because we have scars. Have you thought about that? The reason why Jesus has scars and is on his back and all over is because we have scars. Is because he came only into this world because of our suffering. He only entered life because of our suffering and because of death that reigns here, because of sickness that reigns here. And the reason he came is so that he can suffer in every way like we suffer, so that he might conquer death and sickness. We have scars. Jesus has scars because we have scars. He literally came to identify with every. So every time that you see a scar on your body physically because something happened to you, I want you to think about it and just say, Jesus has exactly the same scar, in a sense. He came to identify in every sense, but also emotionally, betrayal, hardship. If you read through Paul's letter that we just did now and see all the things that Paul suffered, you can just basically go, okay, Jesus also was called hungry for a season in his life. He was also betrayed. He also suffered under the hands of the Roman soldiers, the same thing that Paul did. Exactly the same thing, beaten with a whip, beaten with rods, and eventually handed over to die. Exactly the same thing that happened with Paul happened with Jesus. And I'm going to say it's the same for you. It's not as though Paul is special, that Jesus came to earth to suffer the exact same thing. So what it, every time I look at scars in that light, I go like, my scars are a reminder that Christ loves me because he came to identify with me in this exact thing. My scars are a reminder that I matter to God, that my suffering does matter to God, that the hardships that I go through, it does matter to God. The things that I endure, Christ really is concerned with what I'm going through. And that's why Hebrews invites us saying, come on, with your suffering, with your hardship, bring your petitions to God. Come to the throne room of God with great confidence because he understands what you went through. As a faithful high priest, he suffered in exactly the same way. Pray confidently. You've got his ear. You've got his attention. He knows why you're coming. He understands. That's why he came to earth, to identify with us in our suffering. Christ has the same scars that you have. Your scars are a reminder of the fact that he really, really loves you. He has not forgotten you. He's not pushed you aside. You're not in the back burner. You're in the front of his head. You're in front of his attention. Your scars really matter to him. He takes notice of all of your scars. And because of that, the response in my heart is always devotion. It's like, wow, God, I thank you that you really, really love me. Paul looks at his scars not as a means of maybe God has forgotten me, but he says specifically in the book of Romans, he says, in all these things, we are more than overcomer because Christ loved us. And these things will also work for the good for those who love him. That's what he says. So our scars, this is a summary. Our scars are firstly signs of grace. Signs that by the grace of God, this has not taken me out, derailed me, or pushed me aside permanently. It means that all things work together for the good for those loved. God really can use these scars to recover, to heal, to perfect. That really this hasn't taken me out. I'm looking at healing that God has done. It requires forgiveness always. It requires an attitude of forgiveness and renunciation. I'm not going to have vengeance on you because of what you've done for me. So those that did the scars for me, doesn't really matter. It just looks at God. You've really brought healing to me. I am stronger because of your grace, not weaker. This thing actually really helped me. This has really pushed me forward. Thank you, God, for your grace. And because of the grace, I can really walk with in comfort, knowing that I am never alone. Doesn't matter what today happens, Christ has been with me always. My scars are a memory of times that he's carried me through. Secondly, my scars are signs of faith. Signs that my faith really has been tested. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. The things that you go through, don't just wipe it off cleanly. Just know that God has really been with me because this really tested my faith. This opportunity was an opportunity for me to be offended with God, to walk away from God or to push away from God or just to harden my heart against other people and just close love altogether. But the fact that I have this scar really shows that my faith has been tested and I trust him. And maybe one or two of you tonight, your heart is really cold or apathetic or just uncertain towards God because of things that happened. We'd like to pray for you so that you can really see the presence and the grace of God in your life during those seasons, to just look at it from a perspective of grace. Thirdly, signs of hope. I'm going to say this again. Only have scars in this life. We only get them in this life. We will have them in the next life as a memory. But there will be no near scars in heaven. The ones that you have when you leave earth will be that. No more scars. But amazingly, Christ came down to identify with you, and he has the same scars that you have. He has scars because you have scars. Your hurts and your pain really matter to God. So looking at your scars, just know that Christ has come to bring an end to this reign of pain and terror and uncertainty in this world. He's taking us to, he is preparing a place for us where there will be no more scarring. And that really gives us a confidence, expectation, joyful expectation of his coming. And then the last one, it's a sign of love. Your scars, the things that you went through, look at them and smile. Know that you're not alone. God really, really loves you. He cares about every one of your scars. I know that I have this little scar, and I mean, all of us have scars. So some of you are not married yet, but it's amazing how scars attract attention. When I don't have a shirt on at home, I do flex a bit more. It's picky. But this thing is touched a lot by Magritte, by my kids. It's a small, simple scar. Just here. Small, simple thing. But it really attracts attention and affectionate attention. And because scars do that, I'm glad that you're fine. I'm glad that you're okay. I'm glad this massive bicep was in the way of your heart. You know, it's like... It's amazing. It's like amazing. It went for my heart, but I just went like that. But really, God knows about my scars just like my wife knows about my scars. God knows about your scars. And he has the same scars. He came to earth to identify with you in your suffering, to save you from it. So your scars are a reminder of how much God loves you, that he would go through the similar things that you went through simply just so that you can identify with him in his kingship as he identifies with you in your suffering, so that you can be relatable, so you can have a conversation about these things with him. He really knows what you're going through. He is a faithful high priest. He really says, come talk to me. I really know what you go through. And he doesn't say it empty. He says it with sincerity, in truth. Christ really knows. Christ really cares. I'm going to pray now. And I know as I spoke to one or two people this morning, some of you are still rushing through your year and you didn't have a time to reflect yet because you still have energy for the rest of the year. So I'm going to give you a bit of a moment and just think through the highs and the lows of the year. Because I spoke about scars now, but I mean, some of us just grew tree-wise fat this year, you know. You had a good year, good rainfall, good sunshine. Things really went well for you. Some of us did not have that experience. And you think you had a few scars. You think you had a bit of a drought. You think you had a bit of a pestilence, a leaf falling away, or something happened to you. And I would like you to reflect on your year and just think of the marks that you take along with you this year. And then when we have communion tonight, the ushers are going to bring it over. I want you to share in communion in these four lights. Remember these tough times, seasons of grace that Christ carried you through. Seasons where your faith was tested and approved. Seasons of hope, knowing that this hardship is not going to be there forever. It's temporal. Christ has carried me through. I can expect good to come. And lastly, just on the love. Christ was with you all the way. He really loves you and he really cares for you. He's concerned about you. So Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that you are a faithful God. God, thank you that you are not like the gods other nations worship, God, that is distant and angry, ambivalent at best, or maybe just rains down things from afar. But I thank you that you're a God that is up close and personal. I thank you that you, when you were on earth, God, you literally walked with a bunch of men in a nation and you went through everything that we can go through, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your concern. Thank you, God, that you are the God who, like these trees, God, you help us to recover from everything that comes our way. And that our bodies and our spirits and our souls do bear the marks of your graceful recovery, of your presence, of your attention, of your love. God, I pray that by your Spirit you will move from heart to heart and mind to mind tonight, and as we partake of communion, remembering your death, your suffering, and your resurrection, I thank you that we can look forward to the day, Jesus, when you will return and will take us to yourself, and you'll bring us to this everlasting river of life that we prayed about earlier tonight. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.